if it's locally owned.
It's Copper Row.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Row.
Begin the hour by checking in on Carborough, and we've got the mayor of Carborough here in the studio, Lydia Lavelle, to help us wrap up the week, which has been busy for all of us, and I know you've been running around all day, so thanks for coming by.
Yeah, no, I'm always happy to see you.
Yeah, so first of all, I think the big news locally this week, before we get into sort of updates on Carborough, is this arrest that was made by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, earlier this week of a man who was arrested in Carborough back in September for the sexual offense, right? He was ended up registering as a sex offender earlier this month, and that, according to ICE, was what got him on their radar, although there's a lot of kind of conflict back and forth between them and other law enforcement about it. But I wanted to start by talking about that, because this is kind of the news story this week, is a conflict between federal officials and county officials, but this does raise the question yet again about kind of local law enforcement and the relationship between local law enforcement like Carborough Police and federal officials, specifically with regard to immigration enforcement, and what should local law enforcement be doing or not be doing as far as that goes.
Yeah, so I think the first point I want to make is, you know, you said this is news this week, right? And
right.
And then you said a man was arrested in September,
2017. Right, right.
So, you know, I think one of the first points I want to make is that this is really kind of an unusual move to have, you know, ICE put out a news release.
Yes.
Kind of, if you will, calling out a local law enforcement. And so there's no question that, you know, our area was targeted because of our policy on our immigrant community and how we treat our immigrant community and how we look out for everyone and our local law enforcement policies around that. So point number one I want to make is that, you know, while there's been a lot of hoopla put out this week about this by ICE, it's when we look at the timeline, it's something that happened many, many months ago. And as the sheriff has pointed out, they had many, many months to, you know, come and detain this person who was who they made reference to. So that's one point I wanted to make. The second point I want to make, Aaron, is that is how extremely proud I am of our Orange County Sheriff, Charles Blackwood. Because let's talk just a little bit more about law enforcement. You know, for example, we know that we have policies in this community where our Carborough Police, our Chapel Hill Police, you know, they part of the direction that has been given to them by boards over the years, by our respective boards, has been to not focus on immigration, to focus more on safety in the community. Immigration is a, you know, it's in the purview of the federal system, and we all know, you know, for years and years what a mess that has been, and that, you know, we have a very, you know, large immigrant community here, and so to that end, their focus has been on, particularly with, you know, minor infractions and smaller type misdemeanors or whatever, to urge the community to look at the police and local law enforcement as, you know, as their friend, you know, as someone to come to when help is needed. And, you know, I say that to say our respective local police forces are, and you know, if they were on their own, this might be their policy anyway, but they're operating under the purview of an elected board of aldermen, elected Chapel Hill Town Council, and, you know, the city managers, of course, carrying out the vision and goals of the local councils. The sheriff doesn't have to do that. You know, the sheriff is accountable to the people.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff doesn't have a board kind of setting directives, setting goals. The sheriff, you know, his board is everyone who votes, you know. And so I really, again, want to commend our Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood for really embracing what he knows to be the policy of, you know, these other governing boards in the town. I know certainly the commissioners are, you know, have the same, you know, feeling, and our local boards. And, you know, we live in a very unique county where you have all of law enforcement on the same page with this. And I feel like, our sheriff, you know, gave a very strong response to that news release that came out earlier this week from ICE. And I want to say one more thing, too, and that is, because I called Sheriff Blackwood yesterday and spoke with him, and I told him, you know, how much I appreciated, because, you know, it's not fun. We've all been through it, you know, kind of being, you know, at the ire of federal officials or even state officials, you know, about some of the sanctuary city stuff. And I wanted to let him know that that local leaders really, really appreciated what he had done. And I had spoken to both Mayor Pam Heminger and Mayor Tom Stevens, both of whom were out of town on vacation, like I'm going tomorrow, but they wanted me also to pass along to him their support of his statement and appreciation for what he's had to kind of go through at this kind of being thrown at him by ICE officials.
Yeah, and I think there's two things in there that should be kind of distinguished in and of themselves. The first is just the enforcement of, or the taking of community values and realizing them in the way that you carry out law enforcement on a daily basis, which is something that you have to actively and proactively do. And then the other thing is to be willing to push back against federal immigration officials when they try to bring the hammer down like they did earlier this week and say, look, we had this suspect in custody for 300 days. We called you and got no response. And now you're trying to make this about us. That's a difficult thing to do publicly when you've got the arm of the federal government trying to come down on you. That's a really difficult thing to do.
No. And it, you know, this was a witch hunt. Ever. Mm-hmm. This was a, you know, public shaming, if you will. I think this week was the week of the annual Sheriff's Association conference or whatever. So it's, you know, again, we've all kind of gotten a little bit of the wrath of this over the last couple of years, about one way or another, about different topics, but about this topic in particular. And I also think that, you know, it was very you know, planned by ICE. I mean, they chose a situation that might be one to kind of fire up some people, but really appreciated the factual timeline that the sheriff put out. You know, right down to, first of all, kind of talking about, look, you know, this person had an incident happen in Durham a year or two ago, and, you know, ICE didn't, you know, go after or deport this individual at that time, you know, and then pointing out here that not only were they notified, but this person sat in jail here for some 300 days or so, mm-hmm. And then to the point that when the plea bargain was arranged and so forth, and then the gentleman had to, you know, like sign up for the sex registry or whatever, that, you know, then ICE did come in and ICE did I guess detain him, and so to the extent that ICE says, you know, nothing works in this situation, in their eyes it kind of did work, right? Mm-hmm. So no, I do appreciate so much Sheriff Blackwood's willingness to, as he said, you know, it kind of sounds really ridiculous, but kind of operating within the bounds of the law, that you can't violate an individual's, you know, rights and hold them unconstitutionally.
Yeah, and I think in terms of kind of taking the values of Orange County and realizing them in practice, what you said there about the contrast between ICE's actions in Orange County versus Durham is pretty significant too, because you've got people who are pushing back against policies like Orange's, which we're seeing in other communities around the state and the country, and saying, well, if we're more cooperative with ICE, then they'll be less willing to come into our communities. And that's what we heard from Mike Andrews, sheriff in Durham, earlier this year. And it's an argument that sounds logical until you realize that every single organization that works for the immigrant community is saying, no, don't do that. Continue to keep doing what you're doing.
Right. No, that's an excellent point. I mean, I do think that, you know, there are clearly over the course of the last couple months, there have been, you know, many cases of documented ICE raids in these communities that do speak out and that do say, you know, we stand strongly at the local level with our immigrant community and try to fight for their rights and sign on to amicus briefs and try to, you know, work with ways to improve, you know, laws or stand up, you know, to kind of have DACA continue, just all these kind of initiatives. So I think every time local elected officials kind of stand up for what they believe in, it gives ICE a little opportunity to send in another raid or to do something ridiculous like this and issue a news release about something like this to try to shame someone. So, It's it's discouraging, but there's no other county I would rather live in, and I'm really proud to serve with all the elected officials that I serve with.
Yeah, and it's discouraging on purpose, right? And the reaction to that is to keep on standing up and stand up even more.
It is. It absolutely is.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia LaBelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, including upcoming events. So other things happening in Carborough. I know we've got still construction on South Greensboro Street, which is in the process of wrapping up, still a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, still on the same timeline for the week of August 13th,
I believe,
to open back up. So, just about the time that I will remember not to drive in that direction, I will be able to drive in that direction. I don't know if that's happened to any you or any of our listeners.
Almost certainly.
Well, especially when you're daydreaming, then you're like, oh, wait a minute, I can't. But, it's so, the traffic isn't too bad that you can't just go down another exit.
Well, every time I'm going to Carborough, I go to the Merritt Mill exit because I'm taking Fordham or 54 or whatever you call it at that point. I'm taking that road. I get off the Merritt Mill. Oh, crap, I got to make a right instead of a left and go around that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess I wanted to just give a quick report, too, on the 203 South Greensboro Public Engagement Workshops.
Yeah.
So I was not at the workshop this past Monday night, but we had our public engagement workshop number two. And one thing that was presented at that workshop, and again, I wasn't there, so I can't give you specifics, but as part of the agenda, first, the organizers of the workshop kind of went over what they heard in the first session. And they handed out some demographics of who all had actually participated in the first public engagement session. And they also showed the demographics of people who participated online. And so that was really kind of interesting to hear and to look at. We want to make sure we're reaching, all kinds of cross sections of our community. And I don't know how many were there on Monday night, but Trish McGuire, our planning director, informed me that there was another great turnout. So we have a lot of really good interest in this, a good mix of age, gender, ethnicity, race. I mean, there's just, we have a really good representation. We have at the first two. So the one on Monday night, after kind of an overview of what they heard the first session and just kind of, again, a summary of the project, my understanding is then they broke into three different groups and went over three different exercises each group did and then kind of reported back to the whole group. These are the topics of the three exercises. I can imagine what they were about, but again, I wasn't there. But the first one was about shared program opportunities. And I think that's looking at the different partners that are going to be a part of the building and how they might work together.
So like the Art Center and the library are doing things.
Or even Parks and Rec and the Art Center.
Right.
So different kinds of opportunities there. Exercise number two was the parking challenge. I think that one speaks for itself. And I bet there was a lot. People had a lot to say about that. I'd be really interested to hear that feedback. And the third exercise is connecting to culture. And I imagine that's a way to make sure that the culture and the feel of the community is somehow incorporated into the structure. And I bet some of that kind of went to art and visioning and just the look and feel. So those three were discussed among different groups, and there was some feedback and some Q&A and next steps. That session will be repeated, and we've said this before, that public engagement workshop number two will be repeated on Saturday, August 4th. So folks can either attend a session from 12 to 2 at Carborough Town Hall or from 4 to 6 at Faith Tabernacle Church up on Rogers Road. So again, those are both opportunities to hear more, learn more, give more feedback about the 203 South Greensboro project.
Awesome. So that's coming up in a week and a day, the next round of 203 South Greensboro Street projects. And then as we wrap up, there's another event coming up in early August as well.
Yeah, there's a couple more events in August, but one in particular I want to highlight is on August 7th, and that is the National Night Out. And that's an annual event. Ours in Carborough is held at Carborough Town Commons from 5:30 to 8:30. And if you don't follow the Carborough Police, like their Twitter feed, you need to, because they're, and I think they have a Facebook page too, but they are awesome. I mean, they've been doing like a little countdown and video clips and lip syncs and all the kinds of things.
Yeah, they did the lip sync challenge
too,
right?
Yeah, they did that too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're really awesome what they do on their Twin page or their Twitter page. But they have been talking like kind of about the different activities that will be going on August 7th there. I mean, they're going to have you know, like, you know, things for a kid's firefighter course. They're going to have a bicycle course. They're going to, you can dunk a cop, you know. If you have car seats you want to get fixed, you can do that. You can bring non-perishable food and hygiene products to donate. It's going to be a really fun evening to interact with our local law enforcement in Carrboro. And so mark that on your calendar. If you're in town, come out and enjoy that evening. And then just lastly, near the end of the month, Tuesday, August 21st, that evening is our tentative date to have the Bowling Creek ribbon cutting of 1B. That's the greenway that that attaches, that goes from like Claremont over to Chapel Hill High School in Northern Carrboro.
Awesome. Again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.